Amen. Thank you, Donna, and good morning. Hey, give everybody a nice little wave or a smile that says, man, you're looking horrible and you just made me feel good about the way I look today. So just kidding on that one, but I hope everybody's doing well. If you're part of our online audience, be sure to say hello to our very own beloved Dr. John Cazito. Don't just lay back on us now. If you want to participate from a distance, participate. Be sure you say hello. As always, you have a voice here through, if you're watching online, through Dr. Cazito. And then if you're here, of course, you've got us. So we're so glad that you have chosen to be here today with us to worship our Lord in spirit and in truth. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin today and just ask the Lord to be with us. Father, as we come to you now, we're grateful, we're thankful, and Lord, what a great opportunity just to, Lord, just to kind of step out of the fast pace of society as we come into your house and enjoy the stillness and the presence of the Lord. Father, today I know that as we have gathered here, we have done so, and there are many of us who have multiple things on our hearts and on our minds. Lord, I pray that for these moments that you would just help us to be able to put aside the things that that would hinder us from hearing you today. Lord, I pray that we will concentrate upon you for these moments, that you will speak to our hearts. Lord, we know your word doesn't return void. We know that you have a word for each of us where we are today. So I pray, Father, that you will help us to be attentive to the Spirit, that we might receive your word today. Lord, in all that we do as we worship you, help us to do so with purpose. Lord, not to just mechanically go through the things that we normally do on a Sunday, but Lord, when we sing these songs, when we lift up our voices in song to you in just a moment, Lord, help us to ponder what words are coming out of our mouths, that, Lord, they would truly come from our heart and not just from our lips. May they truly be an act of worship today. And then, Lord, we pray that in all that we do today, we would truly have the opportunity to meet you in this place. Lord, make our lives different because we've been here today, as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning. Please stand with me as we sing, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus," 411.
Thank you.
As Roy was mentioning, the words today, here's another lovely one. It is well with my soul, page 410. Thank you.
And if you have your Bibles, we're going to be looking at passages that come out of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I know sometimes people say, yeah, it's one of those that's a little bit tougher to find, but it's one of your Old Testament books, 2 Chronicles in chapter 20. We're going to be looking in there in just a moment. But As you find that, I'll stall. I'll give you a little bit more time to look for it. I want to thank you guys for your prayers for this past Friday. I had been out of town. It kind of snuck up on me as far as letting folks know, but I actually had a small mass taken off of my back as well as one on my front. And because of my past history of the melanoma, you know, they always kind of freak out about those type things. But anyway, all is well. The surgery went well on Friday. There is no cancer or anything to that nature. Thanks be to God for that and your prayers. God is definitely still on the throne. So now I just look like I have a bullet hole in the front of me and a bullet hole in the back of me. So I can't lay on my back or my front. So if you slap me on the back and I wince, you'll know why. If you hug me too tight from the front, you'll know why. But I'm tickled to death just to have that opportunity to be able to serve the Lord today in a way that is pleasing to Him. So, yeah, as we consider our text today, I'm going to go ahead and give you the text first. And then we're going to talk about it. I think I'm just going to kind of stick in this one particular verse because I think that this is one of those situations that is paramount to each and every one of us. In our text, what we read in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20, it reads like this. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." Let's pray together. Father, as we take this time to gather around your word, we know that it's a special time because as we have gathered together in your name, we know that you are here in our midst. So Lord, today I pray that you would truly speak to our hearts. Help us to give ear to what the Spirit would have to say. Now, Father, I know there are many things that are going on in our hearts and lives. Lord, there are things that would distract us. And Father, even as we have come into the worship service, there are things that distract us in being able to create a worship atmosphere in here. I pray, Father, that those things would be put aside just for a few moments as we gather around your word. Help us, Father, to diligently seek what the Spirit would say to us today, because your message is personal. It's for each and every one of us exactly where we are. So Lord, help us to hear your word today. And then Lord, I pray as your messenger for these moments that you truly use me as your servant. Lord, I pray that that I would simply be nothing but clay in your hands. Mold me, make me, and use me for what you want today in this place with your people. And Lord, we'll be careful to praise you as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I know this is probably going to be somewhat of a crazy question, as people would ask, as people would say, but I want you to think about something. Have you ever been in a situation where everything seemed like it was falling apart? I can look on your face, and I know some of y'all are out there going, no. I mean, not just one thing. It was just like everything just seemed to be this landslide of things that are falling apart. Yeah, you're dealing with one thing, and then all of a sudden there's something else that comes up, some big thing, some little thing, and they're all coming at you at once, and it almost seems to be overwhelming. You know, have you ever been in a situation where you were faced with these insurmountable challenge, and there seemed to be no answer? There seemed to be no way out. You seemed to have come to the end of the road, and you knew absolutely nothing that you could do to change it. And it just seemed like it was so impossible. Now, like I said, I can look on your faces and tell that many of you have been in those places. You have been in those situations, and you have been in those circumstances. So I want you to know that if you've been there, then today's message is just for you. As we look at this particular passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, where God's people faced a great army, and essentially what they did was exactly what you and I need to do. They turned to God for help. And I know that what happens is so often we sit back and go, well, duh. But do we really do that? Do we really turn to God? Because I'm going to tell you what I know about most of the faces that I see out here. And don't take offense at this, because I am one of you. Most of you are control freaks. You want to be in control. In all honesty, there have probably been times when you've gone and said, "Oh Lord, I'm in a bad situation. Here's my situation. Now give it back." You've taken it back away from him. You may not have done it consciously, maybe it's subconsciously, but turning it, listen, God wants you to give him the situation so he can deal with it. But he's not going to deal with it as long as you got your cotton picking hands on it. You got to leave it alone. You got to give it to him. Now, I want to cover something that is a very, very simple biblical concept today that we find so difficult in our lives as we go forward. First of all, I want you to, as we dive into this text, understand a few things. All right, here's one of the main points from our text today, and that's simply this. You need to believe in the Lord your God. And some of y'all are going, okay, preacher, I get that. I've been saved for decades and decades. This is not your elementary spiritual education group. But yet there's something important. I want you to give the litmus test to whether or not you truly believe and are functioning in this area. Believe in the Lord your God. That is what this verse is telling us. That is what this verse was being told to the people back in that day. In verse 20, King Jehoshaphat is exhorting the people to believe in the Lord their God. Just in the same way that I'm asking you to do that today. And y'all are going, okay, maybe I should have just skipped today and come back for one of those little bit more in-depth sermons. But again, I told you a minute ago, there's going to be a test as to whether or not you're really, really doing this. Okay? And here's what it is. You see, believing in God means trusting in his power. It means trusting in his promises. And it means trusting in his faithfulness. Ooh, now we go back and revisit that question. Are we really believing in God? Remember, to be doing so means that you're going to be trusting in his power, you're trusting in his promises, and you're trusting in his faithfulness. And sometimes in your situations, and I will guarantee you the Holy Spirit just put a finger on something in your life when you've sat back and said, well, yeah, I believe in God, but you didn't believe any of these things about that situation, and you didn't believe any of these things about God. How many times have you come to your back to the Red Sea? I like to use that illustration and that example. And the reason I like to use it is because most of us know that story. You know, when Israel was finally allowed to get out of Egypt and Pharaoh finally said, I've had enough, get out of here. Then it says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Pharaoh sent his army after Israel, and where they found themselves was in a tight spot, right? Where did they find themselves when Pharaoh's army approached? At the Red Sea. Good job, three of you out there. Good. You paid attention in Bible school. They were at the Red Sea. They had no place to go. Their back was against the wall or the sea. They couldn't go this way. That was the way they were in. They couldn't go that way anymore. And Pharaoh's army was breathing down their neck. And remember what was being reported from the crowd. Moses, we probably going to die here. But if not, I'm going to kill you. You have led us out here to die. Where is God now? You've been there, haven't you? How many of you have been in those situations and you've asked the question, where is God now? Well, let me tell you where he is. He's right in the middle of your situation. Remember that story we were just talking about when Israel got to leave Egypt? Remember what it says? It says that the Lord led them, right? During the day, he led them by what? A pillar of cloud. By night, he led them by a pillar of fire. He was there in the midst of their circumstances and situations. He is there in the midst of your circumstances and situations. And let me ask this question. See, what we do is sometimes we feel like in our situations we got our back against the Red Sea and we've got no place to go. I want to make you a promise today that God is in the middle of your situation. He knows what's going on. Now, here's the interesting part. It seemed impossible, didn't it? I mean, the seed doesn't just peel back on its own, does it? Yeah, it doesn't just happen along the way. And yet God said, y'all relax. I want you to keep this in mind, because this is a statement that has endured with me for over 32 years in ministry. And it's a real simple one. When I'm freaking out, and when you're freaking out, here's what you got to remember. God is not having a Malox moment over your issue. He's got a plan for it. It is part of the plan. We don't like that at times, but it is part of the plan. And God said, you know, to them, he said, yeah, look, I love what he said there. And some of us need to really capture this. He said, stand still and move forward. Doesn't that sound like an opposite thing? How do you stand still and move forward at the same time? Well, first of all, the stand still is simply so that you may know and that you may hear God in your life. We freak out, don't we? I call it the Tasmanian devil issue. Where are my Bugs Bunny people? Y'all watch that. Of course, I know he's too violent to watch today. But you remember Taz? Taz would spin around. And see, when we get in circumstances and situations in our lives, we don't stop. We start the Tasmanian devil thing. We start freaking out. We start running around. We start trying to alleviate our situation in and of ourselves. We cannot be still. Remember what I said a minute ago when I said that we're control freaks? We feel like we have to solve the issue ourselves. We don't see where God's hand is in it. And what we're doing is we're sitting back going, oh, this is it. This is the end. Our back's against the Red Sea, and we're all going to die in this situation. God's like, will you settle down for just a minute? Will you take a chill pill? Will you just be quiet for a moment? Now, I'm going to ask y'all a question, because I've been in this situation before. Have you ever been on a rant with God? Y'all know what a rant is, don't you? If you're breathing, you do, because our society rants about everything. You know, it's like, blah, 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 and just on and on and on and on until you get tired, and until there's nothing, you feel like you've said everything, and you're like, y'all picking up what I'm putting down? See, I think sometimes God lets us just rant ourselves until we're ranted out, and he's like, are you done? I mean, Israel ranted at the Red Sea. Now, they were ranting, you know, at their leader, not their God. And he's like, what? Come on, man, what do we got going here? And God's like, look, I got a plan. I've got a plan the whole way. I got a plan the whole time. Will you just relax? And too many of us have so much spiritual tension in our lives that you cannot enjoy the fulfillment of the day because you are too busy worrying about tomorrow. Amen. And you see, then you know what happens? When tomorrow comes and tomorrow becomes today, you're still too busy worrying about the next day so that you never enjoy the moments that God gives you along the way. There's an expression called stop and smell the roses. You see, that can apply spiritually as well. So I'm asking you today, are you believing in God? And remember that believing in God means trusting in his power. Are you doing that in the middle of your situation? Are you really trusting in God's power? Are you trusting in the promises that he has given us? You know, I like it when people sit back and say, well, you know what? I believe this and I believe that. And I said, look, last time I checked, God told me that he knows the numbers of hairs on my head. He knows that before the foundations of the earth knew the day I would be born and knows the day that he's going to call me home. Whether it's through death's door or whether it is through the rapture, he knows that day. Well, guess what else he knows? He knows everything between those two points. I told you before that I said, as a pastor, I am a superhero. I am invincible until God gets done with me. Now, I probably won't know when that'll happen. All of a sudden, it'll be like, you'd be here preaching, and God said, and all of a sudden, you're like, well, hey, there he is. In his midst, in his presence. But you see, that same promise holds true for you as well. God has plans for your life, and everything that you're going through is part of his plan. So are you believing in him? I'm not just preaching some sort of salvation message today, because he goes beyond that. You've heard me say too many times that believing in him is more than just praying a prayer with a pastor. It's more than checking off on your checklist of what you've done. See, when you really believe in the Lord, you believe and you trust in his power to bring life where there's no life, to bring resolution where there's no resolution, to bring about a resolution to circumstances that you don't think that there is any answer for. It's God opening the Red Seas of your life. Do you believe on him? I remember one of the great pastors who was an example of faith in the days of old, that he actually had an orphanage, and there were hundreds of children. And this guy was a praying guy. And he would wake up in the morning, and there would not be food to feed several hundred orphans. And he would go to prayer. And he would pray, and they would come, and they would tell him, they'd say, look, we don't have any food to prepare the kids for lunch or for dinner. And he said, that's all right, it's coming. It'll be here. And they're like, well, yeah, where's it coming from? He's like, I don't know. Who's bringing it? I don't know. Well, what are we going to be having? I don't know that either. And they're like, well, how do you know something's coming? He said, because I went to God, and I am claiming the promises that he made, that he will take care of our needs, and he will take care of the needs of these children, and I believe it's done. And every single time, a truck pulled up with more than enough food to feed those children. Let me ask you, do we have that kind of faith? Do we trust, or do we just blow into church on Sunday and say we're spiritual? Are we spending time with him? Are we trusting in his power? Are we trusting in his promises? And are we trusting in his faithfulness? You see, when facing trials and challenges, our faith is tested. But instead of focusing on the problem, let us focus on God and his ability to deliver us from the problem. It's easy to focus on the problem, isn't it? You see, when we're focusing on the problem, that's when we rant. When we're focusing on the problem, that's when we become the Tasmanian devil. That's when we start spinning around and we won't be still in the presence of God to hear him and to know his way out. How many of you all have experienced God work in an impossible situation in your lifetime? Man, I wish and could pray that everybody would be able to put their hand up in that situation. I've seen God part the seas. I've seen God do incredible things. See, I know he can. It's just whether or not it's part of what his will for our lives are. And I don't hang that out there as an excuse, because here's what I know. I'm not going to tell God what to do. You know, how many times have you gone to God and said, Lord, here's what I want you to do. And by the way, that is perfectly okay. You've gone and you've interceded and you've prayed, Lord, I want you to heal this person in my life. I want you to do this. I want you to do that. And God didn't do it. Well, think about this. How many times have maybe your children come and asked you for something that you knew wasn't in their best interest, and you said no because you knew it wasn't in their best interest? They didn't know it at the time, but you did. You know, it's like I've said it before, I've used that illustration. Somebody says, well, you know, Dad, the road's really smooth. Highway 68 out here is very smooth. It's been there for years, and it's really good for my rollerblades and my bicycle. I'd like to ride my bicycle in the middle of Highway 68 at 5 o'clock. Are you going to give them permission to do so? If you do, we need to talk. No. And yet, but see, what's going to happen to them is they're going to say, well, you just don't want me to have fun. You just don't want me to enjoy these things in life. You're mean. How many of y'all have ever experienced that as a parent? You're mean. Okay? You just don't want me to have fun. You're like, no, I just don't want you squashed. Because you don't understand the dangers of riding your bicycle on Highway 68 at 5 o'clock or any other time for that matter. You knew better. You weren't trying to be a buzzkill. What you were trying to be was responsible with your children. Folks, how many times is God being responsible with us and we get upset with him? See, we are the child in that situation. Lord, you just don't want me to have any fun. How come you shut this down? Why didn't I get that promotion? Why this? Why that? Why the other thing? You got to learn how to trust God. It's really interesting that particularly in the military services or any other service where there is rank, rank means something. Rank means that there are people in a position by which to give you orders. Now, I know that we have military guys in here, and they will probably say that doesn't always mean they know the right thing to do. See, the smart guy is the guy who listens to the fellow who knows how to do it, even if the fellow who knows how to do it is of a lesser rank. Okay, that's called listening and being able to be a part of what's taking place and what's going on. But you know what? The thing about it is you follow orders. You don't always like it. I've shared that illustration before where, you know, I sat there and thought to myself, I said, I'm a patrol officer. This was before I was working with the special weapons and tactical people, and I thought there was a lady inside, her daughter was talking to a dispatch from out of town. She was supposed to be going to kill herself and all that, and there were guns in the house and all that. And so me and a sergeant and a watch commander is talking to the lady on the phone. He says, we're going in. I'm like, well, hold on a minute. I didn't say this. I was thinking it. I said, that's what the TAC team's for. That's why they get the big bucks. That's why they get all the good equipment. They're the ones that come in and do this. We hold the perimeter until they go in. He says, we're going in. I didn't like it, but you know what I did? I went in. I didn't complain. I didn't try to have a discussion. He made the call, and I trusted my commander. I didn't like his call, but I trusted him. He was very knowledgeable, very caring, knew what he was doing. We kicked the door in, got in a real interesting situation to go down the hall, secured the lady. Medics were waiting outside. The medics went in there and saved that woman's life because she had overdosed on medication. Had they called the tactical team, there would have been a funeral instead of an ambulance ride. He made the right call. I didn't like it, but he made the right call. You know, sometimes we have to hear what we don't want to hear. Remember as children, you're my people, and I know every one of you heard this. When you were growing up and your mom or dad or somebody in authority asked you to do something and you didn't necessarily want to do it, and you said, why? And you got the infamous answer that nobody liked, and it was because I said so. Ooh! I always hated that answer. But you know, sometimes God says, this is what I want you to do. And you say, why? And he said, because I said so. You know, but the question is, are you going to believe in his power? Are you going to believe in his promises? That is the fine line between professing that you know Jesus and walking with Jesus. You see, there's a lot of people who profess Jesus that when life gets sideways, they go completely crazy. And the reason why is because they're truly not walking with him. That's why I said, do you believe in Jesus? And that is exactly the reason why Jehoshaphat was telling the people in this particular passage that you need to believe in God. More than just checking a box. More than just filling something out. I like the story of David and Goliath. You know, despite the intimidating size and strength of Goliath, David believed that the Lord his God could do far more than he ever could. And he defeated the giant. And the reason why was because he went forward in God's strength and not his own. Remember what he said. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that dares to challenge the armies of the living God? Have we forgotten who we are? Have we forgotten the power of God Almighty? Or do we believe that God can do what he says he's going to do and that he's going to make a way? You know what? We want the plan. I mean, I'm the same way. When God says, hey, I want you to do this, I'm like, cool, what's the plan? He goes, the plan is for you to follow me one step at a time. I'm like, no, I want A to Z. No, I just want you to take the next step. Doesn't that drive you nuts? Some of you are like I am. You want to know what route you're going to take. You want to, and we do it under the auspice of, well, look, if I know, then I can plan. God says, I want you to follow me one step at a time. And that drives us crazy at times. But yet we still have to believe in who God is. David did not have any reservations in facing Goliath because he believed in the power of his God. Now let me tell you, when you go up against a 9-foot-9-inch tall giant, you better believe that God is who he said he is. And you better believe he's going to take care of you. David did. He didn't have no problems at all. I've said that one of the amazing things about that story with David and Goliath that most all of us know is that Saul tried to give him his armor. Saul was a big man. Saul was a gallant warrior. And David, I could imagine, looked like a turtle in Saul's armor. Yeah, that thing was probably up here. He probably had his arms out. And he said, I can't use this. You see, God also gave David everything he needed to accomplish the purpose that he needed to accomplish. What was he used to? A sling. What did he gather? 5 smooth stones. How many did he need? 1. Sometimes I like how the Bible could get a little graphic. It says that when David slung turned that sling around and he let go of that rock, it said it hit Goliath right in the forehead. And I love how graphic it says it sank into his forehead. Didn't bounce off. I'm just picturing like a golf ball hitting a wet turf. This is what I'm picturing. Just completely, blows his brain up right there. And then he goes out and takes his sword and cuts his head off. Little ruddy David, because God was going to use him. And the reason God used him is because he believed in him. More than just checking a box. More than just a prayer. He believed in what God could do. Another thing we need to understand is that in this passage it says, you shall be established. See, when we trust in God, we're promised that we're going to be established. This means that God will strengthen and he will uphold us through the battles. We don't walk through them alone. He is going to give us everything that we need to go forward in the midst of the battle. You see, our faith in God is the foundation that keeps us standing in the midst of life's storms. That's what it is. You see, Jehoshaphat was telling the people that because they had to go through an area where they were going to face a bitter enemy. Nobody likes to do that. Folks, I want you to understand something, and I want you to hear this and hear this good today. God never told us he would make all of our enemies go away. What he said was, I will be with you in the midst of the battle with your enemies. Remember when Israel finally got into the promised land, one of the first things they had to do was go into Jericho. Remember that? And the Lord didn't just make all their enemies fall over dead. He said, you are going to have to go to battle and I am going to be with you. How many of us have sat back at times and said, Lord, I am tired of the battle. I am tired of this. Can't you just get something to work out right? Folks, let me tell you something. If there are not battles on your horizon, then I would venture to say you might need to check your spiritual walk. And I'm going to tell you why. Everybody likes peace, don't they? Yes, this is yes. Everybody likes peace and serenity. Well, that's not what you've been promised as a believer. In fact, the more that you try to do in the spiritual realm, Satan is going to come after you as hard as he can, and he's going to bring help. So do you think that if you are doing what the Lord wants you to do, that your life is going to get easier? Then you haven't read the book. In fact, your life is going to become more challenging. There are going to be more obstacles that are going to get in your way. I want you to hear that, because sometimes we want peace. Sometimes that's what we want in the church. We'll have seasons of peace for a moment, and then it seems like the devil just jumps on us, both hands, both feet, with all of his henchmen. And at times it doesn't look like God's winning. But I want to tell you something. Those are the times when God's getting ready to do something incredible, is when you are at the height of about being ready to give up. If you hold on, God's going to show up. If you hold on, you are going to see him do some incredible things. I want to carry you back to that verse just for a minute as a refresher, because I know I've been talking. Verse 20, so they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. And catch the last part of that. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. He's telling you the secret. Isn't that some of the secrets of people say, well, I just want to, you know, have joy and contentment in my life, and I'd like to prosper. Sure, absolutely. That's what he's saying. See, that means that God will strengthen and uphold us through the battles. Our faith in God is that foundation that keeps us standing in the midst of the trials of life, no matter how large or how small. You see, what happens most of the time is when the trials come, we kind of retreat to a shell, don't we? Well, me, God, oh, Lord, how come? I'm doing this right. Lord, my devotional life is better than it's ever been. Why is all this happening to me? Woe is me. Now, y'all be sure to laugh at that, because I just described a lot of you today, if not all of you today, including myself. I'm not pointing the finger at you without three fingers pointing back. We are a bunch of whiny hinies at times. And that's what we do. Oh, Lord, I don't deserve this. No, what you deserve is death and hell. What we get is God's grace and his mercy. But do you trust him? Are you really putting your life and everything you do in his hands to be a part of letting him guide you to where he wants you to be? I promise it'll be a great journey. See, I like the fact that when we consider this point, the wise man built his house upon the rock. And in the same way, when we build our faith on a solid foundation of God, we will not be shaken by the winds of adversity. They are going to blow in your life. Plain and simple. Adversity is going to happen. And you know this, but what is your foundation built upon? We sing the old hymn, what is it, on solid rock, I build the foundation. All other ground is sinking sand. Y'all remember that part of it, don't you? On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Boy, that's good theology, isn't it? So our hymns, our songs that we sing and pray need to have some good theology, and that's real good theology. But it needs to come from here, not from here. We don't need to just attribute lip service to it. And finally, Jehoshaphat was telling the people in that particular verse, he said, believe his prophets. See, King Jehoshaphat was urging the people to believe in the prophets of God who had come and shared with them. You know, the prophets were the messengers of God, and their words were inspired by him, being a capital H-I-M. He said, listen to what they have to say. They are bringing the word of God to you. And when we have faith in God's prophets, we are ultimately showing that we have faith in God. And how does that translate today? That means having faith in your pastor. That means having faith in the ones that bring you the word of God. That means believing in what your Sunday school teachers are teaching, as long as it is scriptural and in the word of God. I've said it 1,000 times, you know, as long as it's not unbiblical, illegal, or immoral, you might not like it, but that doesn't make it wrong. What does it say? By the way, if you look at a majority of the things that God did with his people in the Word, the people thought he was crazy. Could you imagine what it would have been like to have been in Joshua's army when they had to conquer Jericho? And Joshua says, okay, look, man, God spoke to me. Let me tell you what the plan is. All right, here's what we're going to do. For the next 6 days, we're going to walk around the city. I mean, if you're sitting out there with your weapons going, what? We're going to walk around the city. Look, dude, I get enough exercise as it is. I got my step counter on. That's not a problem. What does that have to do with conquering Jericho? He goes, oh, but the seventh day's coming. Now listen, what we're going to do on the seventh day, we're going to march around it seven times. And then I want all of you to blow the trumpets, and the walls are going to fall down. If you would have been in that crowd, what would you have thought? I mean, what's serious? What would you have thought? This guy's nuts. That is not a battle plan. You know what? I will guarantee you that in the past 22 years that I have come to you with something that God has told me, and you have said, this guy's nuts. He's lost his cotton-picking mind. But you know, the interesting part about it is when they followed what God told them to do and marched around Jericho for the 6 days and then the seven times on the seventh day, it came to fruition exactly what God said would happen. Because they were faithful and they were obedient. What if they had not been faithful and obedient? The walls of Jericho wouldn't have come down. They wouldn't have conquered Jericho. Sometimes I believe that we as churches hold ourselves up simply because we're not obedient to what God has called us to do. We need to be obedient to Him. He said, trust God. Believe in Him. Believe in His promises. Believe who He is. And listen to what the prophets have said to you. When we have faith in God's prophets, again, we're ultimately showing our faith in God. Think about the story once again of Moses in the Red Sea. The people of Israel had to believe in Moses. They had to believe in him. This was Old Testament. This is the time when God was speaking to an individual person. You didn't have that opportunity to just go to God. Remember, they had to go through the priest back in those Old Testament days. They had to listen to Moses, the prophet of God. They had to follow his instructions in order to see the Red Sea part and to escape from the pursuing Egyptians that were there to kill them. And when they were faithful, when they were obedient, even when they didn't necessarily want to, God delivered them, right? And all of a sudden, on the other side of the Red Sea, they went, oh. Man, I hope and pray that some of you at some point in your life didn't necessarily agree with what God was leading you to do, but you did it anyway, and you saw victory through it. I pray that each and every one of you have had that opportunity. So today, as we come together, we face the battles in life. And as we do, let us remember those three principles. The first one is believe in the Lord your God. Not superficially, not with just mere words of profession, but believe in the Lord your God. The second thing that we know is that if we do, we will be established according to this passage, and we need to believe in his prophets. No matter how dire your situation may look, when we stand still and put our trust in God, we will see his salvation. That's great. Yeah. Have you ever froze up? I mean, not in a bad way. I mean, you know, there have been times before where it's been like, and that's been a life-saving thing. Sometimes you can freeze up and get run over. Sometimes it's good to just freeze up and be still. Sometimes it's not. You know, when we played those wonderful games when I was younger, we didn't have Nerf guns. We had BB guns. We had the Crossman 177. We didn't shoot at targets. We shot at each other. But we were safe. We used goggles so we wouldn't put an eye out. Sometimes it was good to be still when your enemy had not seen you yet. Sometimes you had to be calm, cool, and collective so that evil doesn't see you. Sometimes the Lord tells you to be still so you can go forward, just like he told Israel. Sometimes he tells you to flee in cases such as getting away from evil. Sometimes it's good to stand still. As a famous hymn says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. That comes straight out of Exodus chapter 14, verse 13. So let us hold on to our faith. May we never give up, for our God is faithful to deliver us. No matter where you are, no matter what your circumstance is. And listen, if you're not in the middle of one right now, you're going to be. You're going to have something like that. You're going to have your back against the Red Sea. If you don't now, you know, you're going to if you're following the Lord. And listen, if you're not having those circumstances in your life, you might want to check your walk. Are you really doing anything that's irritating the devil enough to make him come after you? Are you doing anything for the Lord that makes the devil say, I want to shut this guy or this gal down? You know, if you're not, you know, the devil don't care. If you're not bothering him, he's going to let you just ponder on through. He can't steal your salvation, but I'll tell you, he will create all kinds of trouble to accomplishing God's will. How do we practically apply the things that we have learned today? We need to hold on to God's promises in times of trials and challenges. We need to build our faith on a solid foundation, which is God Almighty. We need to trust in the integrity of God's prophets and his word, and we need to continually seek God's guidance and his direction, plain and simple. We need to encourage others to stand still and trust in the Lord in times of trouble. We all have them, don't we? Yeah, we need to be walking with one another as we take these times to go through life. And sometimes the joy is being able to simply stand forward and say, you know what, my brother, my sister's going through a tough time. I'm going to step up here. Not only am I going to step up here beside them, I'm going to stand in front of them. And the cool thing is when God's people, one stands in front and then one comes up to the right, and one comes up to the left, and one comes up, you know, behind them to walk those situations with them, not because they have to, but because they love that person enough that they say, I am here for you. Listen, in your struggles and in your trials, are you standing still and knowing that God is who he says he's going to be? That's the difference. See, that to me, that's a big message. Believe in God. So many people say they believe in God and have no clue about salvation. Believing in God is not just that you said a prayer with the preacher. It's not that you checked off a box in a card. It's not any of that stuff. It goes beyond that. That's the introduction. Believing in God means getting to know him. Believing in God means hearing from him through prayer, through circumstances, through messages, through his word. It means walking in his will and his way, even when it's not your will, your way. That's tough, isn't it? See, I said before, I think sometimes it's a little harder to believe in God, and that's just such a superficial statement at times. So what has God put on your heart? Brad, you guys, come on up. We're getting ready to have our time, our hymn of invitation. Again, like I've said to you many, many times, it's not my invitation. This is the Lord's invitation to you. But what has he invited you to do? Has he invited you to come to him for salvation? I said it's not simply praying a prayer, but praying that prayer is a good way to get things started. That's conversation with God. When you simply say, Lord, today I realize I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. So, Father, I am surrendering my life to you, asking you to forgive my sins and come into my life and save my soul. Help me, Lord, to walk with you. See, you can bow your head. You can make a prayer to that statement, right? I can't tell you how many people I have shared with that have heard a message like this and have been somewhere, whether they've been out camping or driving down the road, and the Spirit has moved in their life, and that was where they trusted Christ. Those are, you know what? Hey, it doesn't matter where it is, just do it. Just do it. That gets the walk started. Then I want to encourage you to be discipled. Get with other believers that are studying God's word. Man, that's a great, great thing to have that opportunity to study and learn and grow together. That's called discipleship. Sometimes I think the church in America is failing in that area. I don't think it, I know it. It's statistics prove it out. What else has he said to you? Maybe you've been lackluster. Maybe you've been coasting. We've had a lot of people coasting since the pandemic because the pandemic gave us the right to coast. Well, it's time to start pedaling again. It's time to put your shoulder to the wheel. It's time to get in the fight. Oh, and we don't want fight, we want peace. No, get in the fight. It's a spiritual battle. And by the way, it's not against each other. It's against the evil principalities of this world. That's who your fight's against. We're on each other's side. Let's get together, shoulder to shoulder. I love when one of the greatest things that I heard from a great soul winner, your father-in-law, was what he used to say. People would ask different questions, and they would ask all these difficult questions. And basically, he kept it simple. Look, man, it's not about all that. It's about believing in Jesus Christ, who went to Calvary's cross for your sins, who went through the grave, who resurrected that you might have eternal life. You know, if you trust him and you have the Spirit will teach you. I'm not going to sit here and argue Bible with you, because I'm not going to waste my time arguing Bible. Let the Holy Spirit be your guide. It's simple. Trust Jesus, follow him. Are you following him? What's the Holy Spirit have to say? Maybe you need to kind of get back in the battle. Maybe today you have been sidelined. The devil has made you over anxious with all the stuff, the overwhelming battles that you have been fighting. He has put you on the sidelines because of those things. And the Lord said, look, man, get up, get in the battle. I got all this. I'll take care of all this stuff for you. Are you going to get in the battle with me? Let's do this. Whatever it is that you need. Again, we're kind of old-fashioned around here. I'll be up at the front if you need me. I'll be here to pray for you if you need this altar. It is here. Please let us know if you have trusted Christ. Please let us know if you want to trust Christ. We won't be a part of that. We will celebrate. That's the fun part. Maybe you just got a swift kick on the backside. Say, Lord, okay, I get the message. It's time to get back in the battle. It's time to really believe and trust in you. It's time to really go forward. And I'm not going to let the peripheral things hold me back anymore. I want to see you come in a great, great way. What is it you need to do? I'm here. The altar's here. As we stand and sing our invitation hymn, number 282, Brad will come lead us. In these moments, don't let the Holy Spirit's message to you escape today. You react to it, whatever that may take. Give yourself over to him today. As you continue to seek the Father, as you pray for one another, I'm going to ask that our ushers make their way to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to him. Father, as we come to you now, we're thankful and grateful that we have this time to be able to worship you by returning to you that which you have so richly blessed us with. And Lord, I pray that we might truly be found faithful in this area, that we might be blessed. And Lord, that your work may continue to go forward. So Father, as you observe what we do now, may it be pleasing in your sight as we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Couple things, and then we will get you on out of here. I'm gonna go. Like I said, there's a lot of things going on. Just remember, we don't have any of our Disciple Life or D Life classes until after Labor Day. Still kind of on the summer hiatus, as well as the choir. They will actually not be practicing until sometime next month. A date to be determined along the way. There is adult Bible study tonight, 6 o'clock p.m., classroom 5. If you go down the hall, up the steps, first door on the left after you go through the glass door, right? Second one. I keep saying the first one because anyway, follow the voices. Once you go up the steps, if you go to the first room and nobody's there, go to the next one. That'll be the right one. But that's with Pastor David at 6 p.m. There is a building and grounds meeting in classroom 6 at 3:30. Is that correct? Classroom 6 down here on this hall. So building grounds today, then Wednesday. Every Wednesday, don't forget, there's the men's breakfast. No real agenda, just time of fellowship at 10 a.m. at the Olympic Restaurant in Colfax. And then every other Tuesday, there is a Bible study at Roger and Don Ree Howerton's house from 12 to 1 o'clock. The next event is scheduled for 8-6, but is that, David, is that still on for 8-6? Okay. If not, we'll let you know. We'll get word out. So you can talk to either David or our pastor David or Paul Johansson. Again, they're doing Daniel on that. Vacation Bible School is starting today, runs through this Thursday. There is a dinner at 5:30. That's from 5:30 to 6. And then from 6 o'clock p.m. to 7:30 p.m. will be Vacation Bible School over in our educational building. There's a ladies' breakfast on August the 7th at Cagney's on Friendly Avenue at 9 a.m. If you don't have that, you can write that down. Yes, ma'am? The 14th. Okay, not the 7th, but the 14th. That was my next announcement. Okay, so the actual breakfast is on August the 14th at 9 a.m. at Cagney's, but the Ladies Connection monthly meeting will be on August the 7th at 6 o'clock p.m. in 116 of the Family Life Center. Are you good and confused? The next thing that you just need to remember is 8-7 is the Connections, and then they'll get you squared away on the fellowship. So just remember those two things. Revolution High School will be starting on the 14th. The teachers will be starting before that. So we're still working on preparations for that in the other building. The nominating team has put something out. They've placed in the Narthex the non-rotating team list, which will be placed out there. If you want to be either removed or added to a team, please let a member or the chairperson know of your wishes. So we talk about some of our teams in our church that are non-rotating. If you would like to be a part of that, we don't want to close that out for anybody, please let us know. Or if there's something that you just need a little bit of a break from, please let us know in that regard as well. That's from nominating. The 2024 Women's Retreat is 10-10 through 10-13 at Ocean Isle. You can see either Marsha or Mari. That is Marsha back there. Wave, Marsha. And Mari is over here. You can see them for any further information on that. You still have any slots? Two slots. Okay, jump on those. Want to have a full ride. Once again, a lot of things that are going on around here, so if you need a classroom for a meeting or any of those type things, be sure to let us know so we can reserve that for you. And then finally, what I wanted to do was let you know about our birthdays. This coming Saturday is Chris Harrell's birthday. That is the son of our very own Mike and Kay. And then today, this particular Sunday, Fred Penson celebrates a birthday, as well as our very own beloved Carl Young. Right back down there, Carl. That is a very, very special fella in a lot of ways in my life. His smile, your smile, changes people's life. I just want you to know that. Everybody loves you, Carl, and if you don't think so, just ask them. They'll fight for you. But so we want to do something a little bit different. I'm going to get Pastor David to come up and dismiss us in a word of prayer. But before we do, I'm going to let y'all have what, okay, let's, oh yes. Don't forget the Criders. I want to make sure we get this in. The Criders invite everyone to the wedding of Amy, their daughter, to Christian Kahn on October the 4th in Martinsville. There's information in the narthex. Please RSVP. Don't do the church thing and wait around. If you're going, RSVP by August the 1st, because that helps with planning. So information is out there. That is our very own Amy right there. Wave, Amy. She's getting married, and you are invited. So that's going to be up in Martinsville. Be sure, if you have that opportunity, to come. We got a heckler in some way. I need all the backup I can get for the wedding. So at any rate, be sure you catch that. Like I said, a lot of stuff going on. David, I'll just get you to come on up here and stand for just a moment, because before we do, let me let y'all stand up together, because we're going to be dismissed in just a second. But before we do, Brad is going to come and lead us, and we are going to sing happy birthday to our very own Mr. Carl. So y'all join in, sing loud and proud as Brad leads us, and then Pastor David, see us off in prayer.
Father, we just thank you for the privilege we have of being in your house today. We thank you for your love for us, your watch care over us, your provision for our every need, and for your word and the opportunity we have to study it. Lord, bless us as we go from this place today. Help us to be a witness for you everywhere we go. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.